Hey, good morning. The first piece of Gemara and the that you see in front of you is from Nida Daf Chaf Dalet. And the Gemara starts in about six lines down. The first word on the line is Meruba. The Gemara says like this: Tanya Abba Shol Omer Abba Shol says the Tamer of Yechanan Kober Mesim Hayisi. I used to bury the dead. Of course, you say he was burying the dead currently, but that one should speak about burying the dead in the past tense, that there shouldn't be that hopefully it should be the last time he ever did it. Kober Mesim Hayisi. I once chased after a deer and I entered into the thigh bone of a mace, chasing a deer that was running. I ran after the deer, three parsos. I didn't catch the deer and I did not. I was still in the thigh bone. Thigh bone didn't terminate. Thigh bone didn't end. And I did not catch up to the deer. You can imagine how big that thigh bone was. When I went back, I withdrew. I came out of the thigh bone. Amru li shel Og Melech HaBoshan Haisa. That was the thigh bone of Og Melech HaBoshan. Now we know that Og Melech HaBoshan was pretty tall. According to Chazal, it comes out that Og Melech HaBoshan's ankle, we make a calculation, Og Melech HaBoshan's ankle was 10 amos, and 10 amos is 30 amos off the ground. And you take even minimal standards. By minimal standard, an amma is about a foot and a half. So you know, 10 amos is 15 feet. I'm talking in American. But if you make a calculation, it comes out to about 10 meters to Og's ankle. And if Og's ankle is 10 meters off the ground, you carry out the proportion of a human being. So I once came out to Og Melech HaBoshan being about 4/5 of a mile tall. So, which creates all sorts of logistic problems, obviously, like where did he get his suits, etc. But at the end of the day, Og Melech HaBoshan, and there's a discussion on whether Chazal take it literally or Chazal take it figuratively. So, in Shimshon with 60 amos shoulder to shoulder, also creates logistic problems. So, if he was 60 amos, and again, 60 amos being at a minimum 90 feet, you're talking about say 30 meters shoulder to shoulder. So then so the whoever constructed his house has to have made a very wide doorway. So there are different opinions about exactly what how to understand it. That's what Abba Shol says. Now the Poshim Shah here, the Poshim say, obviously, the Chiddush HaGonim and the Enyako says this is not Kipshuto. That itself, in general, in Agarata is a Machlokas. There's a three-way Machlokas whether Agarata is to be taken literally, is not to be taken literally. Is some of it to be taken literally? The Vilna Gaon says that there are certain Agaratas which are certainly only figuratively, the Sabi the Beatudo, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Hananya, and Rabbi Bar Bachana and Baba Basra, the Gaon says, those are to be taken figuratively. Be that as it may, the Marsha says over here that Abba Shol, what does this really mean? Abba Shol was a Kober Mason. Kober Mason means Rishoyim the Chayim Kri Mason, but the Rishoyim, the actions of the Rishoyim are called Mason, and therefore Abba Shol was a Kober Mason means he was fighting against what the Rishonim stand for. In other words, he's going against wicked behavior, evil behavior. Pamachas, he says he was once chasing a deer. Now, a deer represents Tahara. Every Rats Kitzvi, to run like a deer to do Rats Adavicha Shabashanayim. So the deer represents the pursuit after the achievement of Tahara. He was in the thigh bone of Og Melech HaBosh, and the thigh is always associated with immorality, with erba. And it was Og Melech HaBoshan. Now, Og Melech HaBoshan, Chazal say, when he attacked Klai Yisrael, he picked up a mountain to throw on the heads of Klai Yisrael. And the mountain that Og Melech HaBoshan picked up was three parsos, broad or tall, whichever it was. It was three parsos. The Marsha says it's no accident. The three parsos was also the size of the Machane Yisrael. Machane Yisrael was three parsos long. So in Machane Yisrael, you see, there's no coincidence. In Machane Yisrael, anybody who was Tomei was not allowed in Machane Yisrael. He was sent out. Machane Yisrael had to maintain a certain level of Tahara. Og Melech HaBoshan represents Tuma, and he's trying to crush out, with that mountain, he's trying to crush out the Tahara of Klai Yisrael. Says Abba Shol, I was in the thigh bone of Og Melech HaBoshan, and I was chasing the deer, and I never caught it. So the Marsha explains, what does that mean? If the deer represents Tahara, it's the pursuit of Tahara, and he's trying to catch Tahara, he's running after it, but he never catches it. Why? Because he's in the thigh bone of Og Melech HaBoshan. That means the only way to catch it is by completely, completely removing oneself from the Tumah. The only way to catch it, says the Maharsha, to get the Tahara is completely withdraw from the Tumah. You can't play both both fields at the same time. Therefore, it's the Chazal say, "Kishechazarti le'achori," when I went back, when I backed out, at that point, then I was able to achieve it. That's how the Maharsha learns the Gemara. It doesn't say it in the Gemara, but the Maharsha understands that "Kishechazarti le'achori," then I achieved the tahara. Amrali shalog melech haboshan haika. He told me that was the taiba on the zog melech haboshan, and the mistake you had been making all along was being inside, maintaining a connection to the taiba on the zog melech haboshan. That's why you didn't achieve what you wanted to achieve. That's how the Marsha understands the Gemara over here. There are different approaches. That's how Marsha understands. What the Gemara is trying to teach us here is obviously in a Chazal say oli miyotri, oli miyitri. A person, either way, you lose, right? Oli miyotri. Right? We're accountable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oli miyitri. The Yitzhar is relentless. The Yitzhar is relentless, and it's human nature. The Yitzhar is there before the Yitzhar itself, and it's human nature. And a person is fighting the Tzuma, the Yitzhar. A person is fighting from day one, and it's absolutely relentless. And when we think that we got him in one area, when he said to Yaakov, you know, lama zatishali shmi, so the Farshim say that he was saying to Yaakov, the Sultan was saying to Yaakov, you're asking me who I am. Whatever name I give you, tomorrow I'm going to be something else. It doesn't make a difference. Today I'm anger. Tomorrow I'm Geiser. The next day I'm Tiber. The next day, every day there's something else. Knowing my name isn't going to help you. Either way, there's always going to be something else. It's relentless. Just when a person thinks he's got him defeated in one area, they start up in the other area. So the lesson here is obviously that there's a fight, that human nature is a certain way, and we're fighting against human nature. There's actually a community that once had, certain tragedies happen in the community. They're looking for some takana. What are you going to do for the community? The community's got to do something to fix themselves up. So usually, you know, you hear that they decide tzedakah or lashon hara or shmiras lashon, something like that. This community decided that they made a takana in the community. If anybody in the community comes to anybody else to give them tovukah, to give them a little bit of mussar, they're not allowed to respond. Right? Talk to you, you know, bring on the tzedakah. You know, anything easier than that. Yeah. Somebody comes over and says something, you can't get defensive, you can't justify, you can't counterattack him. That was a takana in the community. Because the human nature is that somebody attacks, or somebody gives a rebuke, or somebody gives a little piece of mustard, the human nature is to lash, is to respond. That was a takana in the community. That's what Abba Shaul teaches you. It's human nature, and human nature is to be drawn in, and therefore the only way to detach is by the only way to conquer it is by removing oneself completely. Now, if you look at the next Gemara, it says like this. And this is very difficult. I struggled with this for a long time. It says like this. It pick it up in the first line, the first word on the line is umisgore. Umisgore. It's about almost halfway down, a little slightly past the halfway point. It says the first word on the line is umisgore. If you look towards the end of that line, it says like this. Four words from the end of the line. Kiha de Abaye, everybody see that. Kiha de Abaye. Shameilahu Gavra. Abaye heard a man. What's that? No, this is in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis. This is Sukkah Daf Nun Beis. Sukkah Daf Nun Beis. Sorry. Neither the first one, neither Chavdal. This is Sukkah Daf Nun Beis. Kiha de Abaye, Shameilahu Gavra. Abaye heard a man. The Kamarla Hahi'itza, a man said to a certain woman, Nakdil Venezil Beurcha. Let's go traveling. Young man said he's going to go travel. Wants to go travel with a young lady. Omar, Abaye said, "Ezel afreshinu meisura." I better go and separate them from any hanky panky. Young man, young lady are traveling together. I better follow them. I'll chaperone. I'll follow them from distance. Make sure nothing happens. Also, Basra plusa parse ba'agma. He walked three parsos. There's the three parsos again. Coincidentally, he goes follows them three parsos in an agam. Agam is a swamp or some sort of murky area. Kihavu parshi me'adadi, when the two of them separated, sham'inu de ka'amri, he heard that they said to each other, urchin rechika, it's a long distance, long journey, v'tzavtin besima, in company, it's so nice to be able to keep company on a journey, nobody wants to travel by themselves, yet they parted company. So Abaye was broken by this. Amar Abaye, iman de sonny li, have it, if it's the one, he uses the sonny li, meaning himself, if it would have been me, if it would have been me, I would not have been able to restrain myself and I would have done another error. That's what Abaye said. Here's a young man. Abaye is an Amora. Abaye is the Abaye Barova. He is Shas. And here's a young man that says to the girl, okay, bye-bye, see ya. You know, they separate. And Abaye says, would have been me, I would have done the other error. So Abaye was, was upset. So, Ozal, well, we're upset. We just get in our car and go to work. Abaye did things differently. Ozal tola nashe. The Bura Didasha. Abaye went and he hung himself in the doorway. he suspended himself, and apparently it was a position of discomfort. It wasn't, you know, he was upset. Okay, well, we go to work, so maybe get person gets stuck in traffic. Maybe that's their way of being getting the kapara. But he went into ozo the ibur de dosha. He went in umitztair, and he was in discomfort. And he was in a physical discomfort. He was in spiritual discomfort. He was upset because he felt that he would have done the aver. Osa usaba, an elderly man came along. Tanalei, he told him, listen, don't be so upset. Kol agadol mechaveiro yitzro gadolei menu. The bigger you are, the bigger the yitzro are. Now, that's what Chazal said. Kol agadol mechaveiro yitzro gadolei menu. Difficult to understand. Because the Maisa, there are different explanations. One explanation is, the bigger you are, so you got a bigger Yetzer, that means that the prophet, the man, she's got a Yetzer over there with the girl. The bigger you are, so you got a Yetzer, but you make your brachas with kavana, and what kavanas do you have when you're putting on your tefillin? That's one of the explanations they give. But the Maisa, that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, well, he's trying to calm Abayda. Abayda said, I was upset because I would have been there, I would have done the Aveira. He didn't say, if I would have been there, I would have made my bracha without kavana. He says, if I would have been there, I would have done the Aveira. And he was upset, and he tried to calm him. He said, don't be so upset, call a gold mechaver yitzer godly menu. So what's up, chat? What does it mean, call a gold mechaver yitzer godly menu? Because we understand this, we understand the yitzod in general, in how the battle works. Call a gold mechaver yitzer godly menu means, at one level, it means that the more godly a person is, the more far removed he is from the Avera. The farther removed the person is from the Avera, the more imagination there is that's attached to the Avera. The closer the person is, the less imagination. Because the person's there. When the closer the person is, there's less imagination. Less imagination, the person sees what the thing actually is. It's not, there isn't that much there. The farther removed somebody is, the more imagination there is. The more imagination there is, the more a person imagines he would have done the Aveira. Very unlikely that Abai would have done the Aveira. He said he would have, but it's very unlikely he would have. But the imagination is so powerful that the person in the imagination feels that, yeah, imagination would have pushed him into doing the Avera. Never called Golem Chavera Yitzhak Golem Menu means the bigger you are, the farther removed. The farther removed, the more imagination there is. The more imagination, the more person is there. Well, that's what it would have been like. I would have never been able to overcome it. Lemaisa Bishat, if he would have been there, Bishat Maisa, he would have seen that it's not as big as it appears. Therefore, he would have been able to overcome it. But not Bishat Maisa, there's an imagination. And since there's an imagination, a person imagines himself failing within the framework of that time. What does that mean? That means that that's the natural process. The natural process is that there's going to be a certain amount of imagination. The natural process is the battle is one where we have to fight against what the natural pull is. Obviously, we have Pesach. And Pesach comes along. In Pesach we have Matzah versus Chometz. So what is Chometz? Chometz represents, obviously, the Yetzer Hara in all various forms. There's the puffing up, it's gaiva, it's soft, it's enjoyable, tagaiva, taiva. There's also the idea that the matzah, chometz, if you took chometz and you flattened the piece of bread down, if you took it and you flattened it, what you really end up with is matzah. Right? If you took bread, you flattened it down, you'd end up with matzah. That means that the only difference between bread and matzah is really besides the price. Besides the price, which one year I priced the matzah in Eretz Yisrael, as we were sitting there, I thought to myself, the hand matzah came out about 200 shekels a kilo, and I priced it came out to about 35 cents a bite. Right? At that point, you appreciate lechem oni at 35 cents a bite, especially when your children are sitting there crumbling matzah up around the table. You know, you appreciate 35 cents. Like, you know, you talk about a kilo, but that goes per bite, what it's costing you for bite. Then you appreciate business time eating matzah. Exactly. So the difference is you take bread and you flatten bread down. What is bread really? It's airspace. If you flatten it out, it's airspace. So that means if bread is the symbolizes the Yitzhar, and the bread is big and puffy, and you flatten it out, you have matzah. So that means it's all an illusion. It's the same illusion as it's all imagination. It's all airspace. There's nothing really there. That's one idea. The other idea is, what is matzah? What's really happening? You take bread, and you mix flour and dough together. You mix it. If you would leave it alone, what would happen? It would start the fermentation process, which begins the chimutz, and then the bread would puff up. That means the natural process is what? That the Yetzer Hara is going to kick in. If you leave it alone, you leave it to itself, you leave the bread alone, the natural process is there's going to be chimutz. What is matzah? Matzah means we interfere, we arrest the natural process, and we stop it, we cut it off prematurely, throw it into an oven, symbolically that we are arresting the natural process, which is the Yetzer Hara, which is why Pesach is 7 days, because seven represents the 7 decades of a lifetime. And it's the reminder to us that the battle of the lifetime is the battle against the natural process. The entire message of Pesach is the battle against the natural process. The bottom Gemara, take a look, one more piece of Gemara. And the bottom Gemara says like this. This is from Gittin Nun Beis Off. This is Gittin Nun Beis. And it says like this. It's the fourth line of the Gemara. The fourth line of the Gemara. Hanhu Beitrei. There were two people. The Igriba Sutton. There are two people, the Sutton incited them. The Kol Beit Shimshe Hava Kaminsu Ba'adei Adari. Two people who fought every Erev Shabbos. Beit Shimshe is every Erev Shabbos. Two people fought every Erev Shabbos. Could be a husband and a wife. They have been known to have slight disagreements on Erev Shabbos. They have been known. And it says, there were two people that had a little spat every Erev Shabbos. Right? Not an argument, a discussion. Right? Every Erev Shabbos. Right? We all know what that means. And the two people had a little discussion every Erev Shabbos. Ikla Rabbi Meir Lahasam, Rabbi Meir went there. Akvinu Tlosav Eishimshay, he somehow restrained them. Three Ben Hashmashasim. Ad the Ovid Lushama, until he made peace between them. Shame the Ka'amar Vaid the Abdir Rabbi Meir Lahu Gabrimi Beitra. He heard the Sultan saying, oi, shame, Rabbi Meir tossed them out of this house. The Sultan was successful creating a fight. The mayor came three times in a row, Ben Hashmashos, and he made peace between them. So the Mepharshim explain over here what's really going on. Obviously, two people are fighting, so on and so forth. But there's a message. Chazal is delivering a message over here. What's the message? Who are the people, two people fighting Ben Hashmashos? Ben Hashmashos is Olam Hazza. Right? Olam Hazza is compared to Erev Shabbos. Olam Haba is Yom Shekul Shabbos. There are two who are fighting an Erev Shabbos, which is the body and the neshama. The physical pull, which is nature, the tuma, is fighting with the neshama. The two of them are fighting. Took Rabbi Meir to come and make peace between them, between the body and the soul. How does Rabbi Meir do it? So he comes along three times in a row. Meir shows up three times in a row. Three is the number of Hergel. You do something, you do it three times in a row. A person trains himself, they are able to then get into a pattern where they can go against the natural forces. They go against the natural drive. Because all I teach you, that's the way to achieve it. The mayor comes three times in a row and makes peace between the body and the soul. It means that a person has to go through the training process. That is what Chazal is telling us. Now, there are two questions. It comes to Pesach. There are Pesach, Shal Shagol coming up. There are two questions. Once we know this is the Yisod, there are two questions. Question number one is a question I think everybody must have noticed this at some point or other. Sometimes maybe we did not verbalize it, but at some point or other must have noticed. On the one hand, Chazal say, Klal Yisrael got to the 49th level of Tumah. They had to get out of Mitzrayim. Had they not gotten out of Mitzrayim when they did, they would have been to the 50th level, and they would have never gotten out. Wonderful. Chazal took 50th level of 49th level of Tumah. They get out. Terrific. On the other hand, it says, the Chazal say, Klal Yisrael did not change their clothing. They didn't change their language. They didn't change their name. Right? That's the Gevaldi guy. 210 years, they didn't change that. Everybody was named Herschel, and they all were Garthels, and they all spoke Lashon HaKodesh, all Yiddish. You know, so what's so bad? So how could you have been at the 49th level of Tumah, yet you maintain your basic Jewish? Yeah, what? I understand. How can the two coexist? On the one hand, there's the greatest Shvach, and we've always been taught it as a Shvach, that they Loshinu Lashonam, Shmam Lashonam, Abusham. They didn't change any of it. On the other hand, there's the Mentashari Tumah. So how did the two coexist, number one? Number two, one of the puzzling things we do with the Seder, we eat karpas, right? Start with your kadesh, have some wine, and in case you didn't know how hungry you were, when you sat down at the Seder, so you drink some wine, then you realize it makes you hungrier. Urchatz, right? Karpas is an appetizer. And karpas is an appetizer, always somebody to remind you, not more than a, less than a kazayas, because of something, the bracha, less than a kazayas. So you take this bite of karpas, dip it in salt water, now that's going to have to last. It's going to have to last you, depending on whose Seder you're at. It may have to last you for about an hour and a half. So in case you were not tortured enough as it is, so now you have a little karpas to laugh at you, right here, enjoy, make it last. You get two bites, make it last as long as you can, then you got to go and you got to get through that Haggadah. So what's going on here? Why are we doing that? And it's an appetizer. An appetizer is generally supposed to be that you eat it, and then it's going to help the gastric juices start flowing so that you can enjoy the meal and digest it better. Not that you eat the appetizer so you can be tortured. That's not what an appetizer is for. Why are we doing that? Why are we doing it? So the answer is like this. You see, let's answer the first question. Imagine a person has knee pain. person has some constant chronic knee pain. He goes to a doctor, and the doctor shows him a pill. He says, he's got a miracle drug. Drug takes away all pain for 24 hours. But, and, plus, there are no side effects. It's a miracle drug. Stomach doesn't hurt. You don't get woozy. You can drive your car. No problems. You take the drug. 24 hours, beautiful. Give the patient the pill. He says, take it. Come back 24 hours. Let me know how it was. Take the pill. Unbelievable. No pain for the first time in years. He's free of pain. Comes back to the doctor the next day. Says, I was free of pain. Says, doctor, side effect. No side effects. Says, great. Says, I'll take a prescription. Doctor says, I'm sorry. Can't give you a prescription. The Food and Drug Administration has not okayed the drug. It won't be on the market for 6 months. Okay? Do you think in those 6 months he's going to have more pain or less pain than he did up until this point? There's no question he's going to have more pain. When a person knows that their end is in sight, that relief is in sight, there's no question that then he's really going to be irritated because he knows that it's just bureaucratic red tape that's stopping him from getting the relief. So for those 6 months, he's going to be in more pain than he ever was. He wants the relief. Okay? That we agree with. Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim didn't change any of their Jewish identity. They had a very basic Jewish identity. They changed their name. They didn't change their names, their clothing, their language. They're Jews, but they were also second-class citizens. And they were resigned to their fate. They understood that they're going to be second-class citizens, and they're going to be in Mitzrayim, and they're going to be there for a long time. Yeah, there's going to be a Geula. Yeah, we're told, there's a simon for the Geula. They believe it like we believe it. We all believe there's going to be a Geula. We all believe there's going to be a Geula. But if we believe there's going to be a Geula, so a person comes home from work. So he's upset. The boss gave him a hard time. He got stuck in traffic, and Mashiach didn't come. So those are the three reasons he's upset when he comes home. Right? So, as the old saying goes, two out of the three aren't bad. Right? Certainly the boss, certainly traffic, Mashiach, yeah, but I doubt anybody walked in and snapped at their wife or their children because Mashiach didn't come. Somebody may have been snappy because the boss snapped at them. Most people don't snap at something. Mashiach, yeah, of course we want Mashiach. We believe Mashiach. We believe it here. Are we as anxious over here? In the natural process, no. Because in the natural process, we don't see any way out of this. The world is worse than it ever was. The world's gone mad. We all know it. And we don't really see any way that he should come, any reason why he should come in this world if he didn't come in the Chofetz Chaim's world. The natural process is, okay, I believe it because I'm told I have to believe it. Do I really believe it in my heart the way I'm supposed to believe it? Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, did they believe? Yeah, okay, two Jews are building and they're getting whipped by an Egyptian and one of them says, oh, by the way, you know, one day we're going to be out of this. Yeah, yeah, I know, just pass the mortar, will you? You know, I don't want to be out of here. Yeah, and everyone, yeah, we believe it. Yeah, they're bad. They sing on Imam. Yeah, terrific. What happened? Chazal, there's a Medrash that says Moshe Rabbeinu came, revealed himself, said Bakod Bakadati. The Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared for 6 months. He came to Klal Yisrael, revealed himself, and he disappeared for 6 months. The Shem Yishmol says, the pshat is, Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to create the yearning in Klal Yisrael. He showed up. Once Moshe Rabbeinu shows up, oh, the goyel is here. Then it's like the guy with the doctor gives him the pill. Then he sees the end is in sight. He sees relief is in sight. Then Klal Yisrael are truly yearning for a geula. Klal Yisrael are genuinely yearning for a geula. We eat the karpas. Shem Yishmol says the karpas is a reminder of the geula. That means you sit down at the Seder. Yeah, I got it. Eat the karpas. It's an appetizer that shows you, boy, you really are hungry. And then, now you've got time to wait and yearn for the geula. The geula happens to be the main course. At our level, that's the geula. But, like anything else that they were misakin, it's not anything else they were misakin. They're misakin it as a zeichen. They're misakin it as a sign. It's not a joke. We do it every year. Klal Yisrael does every year. The karpas is the geula. It's a sign. It's a yearning for the geula. That's what we're meant to be doing. We're meant to go against the natural process which we ourselves sink into. We sink into a natural pattern, and we're meant to yearn for the geula. The last point is very interesting. It says, Kalamar b'l'safir v'siyas v'sarim ha'reiz ha'meshubach. When did Mar b'l'safir v'siyas v'sarim ha'reiz ha'meshubach? So, what really is, what's the pshat? Mar b'l'safir v'siyas ha'reiz ha'meshubach. So, we usually understand it as, the more you talk about it, the more you get into it, you can actually get yourself to believe that you're Yotzei Mimitzrayim. We have to see ourselves as coming to Mitzrayim. So, there's another pshat. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you heard about it, a guy jumped out of an airplane, and he pulled the parachute, didn't open, so he pulled the emergency cord didn't open either. He fell 15,000 feet, and he landed on a bramble bush, which collapsed in on itself. He got up, and he walked away. He walked away from it. Not only that, just to show you how good he's with him all the way, he was filming the jump. He was filming the jump. He was filming a jump which was where the parachute was supposed to open. Most people are not able to film a jump where the parachute does not open. Most people wouldn't try. He's certainly not going to get somebody to try it after him. He was filming the jump. So not only he got up and walked away, he was able to sell the film to the networks and Mikimi Mayoff Ardol. Tarti Mashma, right? He did very nicely for himself. What do you think the topic of his conversation is going to be for the next couple of weeks? I don't think any time he sees anybody for next couple, what do you think he's going to be talking about? Right? I can guarantee you, he's not going to be talking about the football game. He's not going to be, you can be sitting at the table, you say to him, pass the salt, he's going to say, what, 15,000 feet? That's all he's going to talk about for next. Why? When something happens to a person and they're excited about it, they talk about it. If you've been through something, good, not good, whatever it is, a person who something really happens to them, when they're excited about it, they talk about it. If we are able to view ourselves and genuinely tap into the feeling that we come out of Mitzrayim, and if that our parents did not come out of Mitzrayim, we'd still be there. That means the more we talk about it, the more we actually believe it. The more we believe it, then, as I'll say, Harizim Meshubach. Okay.